Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. We're going to start off the show with Mighty Elohim by Linnell Griffin. Greetings and welcome back. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on the Age of Heroes, we continue our conversation with Bill Waitman. Greetings and welcome, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm in New Jersey, in Sussex County.
Welcome back.
Hercules, you don't know, and your audience don't know, I was in the town in Florida where the killer of that girl lives, as well as that girl.
Oh, no.
I'm finishing up two PhDs, one at Fordham and one downtown. I hope to have them quickly. But one of those degrees is in criminology. And I've never seen a police force so inept. I might as well tell you that I don't even really believe at this point that murder, the guy that dies, is actually dead. It's just too bizarre where the mother and father say, he's here, in a large tract of swampland and alligator and Florida have both alligators and crocodiles and pipa, these 100-foot snakes that have come in from Asia somehow and have been dumped into the Everglades and the swamplands. It was a crazy, living in Florida is a crazy thing if you're in Northport. My house was robbed so many times, people that I trusted would break in. So when
I
left, I never went through so much, and people should be careful where you move. I wouldn't put Northport on anybody's agenda to live. Just a strange town. Everything was mishandled in the that case that we're talking about here. I don't even believe the Florida FBI are good at all either. But in any event, I'm back here, and
Welcome back.
Very cold. I'm glad to be back. I don't know how it is where you are in Bergen County, but Sussex County is way too cold. Climate change.
It was very chilly today.
God, it's miserable here. I'm surprised the lake's not frozen, because our lake is one of the many waters. We're in the water area that supplies cities like Newark, all the way down the coast over here. Our water and some of the other five or seven lakes flow into the Newark reservoir system, and that's not much fun when they were digging up and putting septics in. It's good to put septics, but it's better to have sewers. Always keep that in mind. But it's great to be back. I've been watching the news. I took part in the election down there, and I actually worked a little bit with Wayne, New Jersey, with candidates that I know. They gave a good try in many cases. The two Congress people that are Democrats, they both won the 5th and the 11th district. The guy from the 5th, Gottheimer, is he's more of a pragmatist, and he heads a group of Republicans and Democrats that focus on issues together. And I think that's the way Congress should go.
I think so, too. I think we should go get issue-based. Here locally for the past couple of years, I've been covering the Board of Education elections, and we've had all the candidates on, and it's very issue-based. You know, we make it personal so people can know who their candidates are, but we focus a lot on the issues, and that's how I believe it should be.
I agree with you 100%, and I'm worried about a trend where some groups are really hijacking, you know, the Board of Ed and the focus in many school districts and pushing them in a bad trend, self-serving often. Some of the people on past boards are leaving, and they had great skills. I think in your area, you're 100% right. I mean, my town of Richfield, where I grew up, Leonia, your town in Bergen County, and all the way over. I mean, I did some teaching at Hackensack High School, actually, for a college class years ago. But this is becoming a real important thing with the Board of Ed. and how we go as a society. You know, whether it's race theory or whatever, that are turning people into really just nasty, nasty elections. I don't think that's the way to go. And I know as you're probably thinking we might have another protest in Washington. And living in Florida, there are a lot of decent people, but the state elected one crazy governor. I've never seen governors like this. I understand in Texas, where there's a lot of craziness, Beto O'Rourke, who's a Democrat and an actor now, really has the lead, overall lead in that race. McLaughlin, forgetting what his name is, if you can help me with that.
Yeah, I don't remember his name.
Yeah, it's two Democrats that are really challenging the Texas governor, who's a Republican. But these are not like Republican, you know, this is not like the politics of Lyndon Johnson in Texas who actually was a Democrat. And when Johnson had his great society and pushing for programs, he picked up Republican votes around the country, you know, from senators and whatnot. And that's how he was able to get his great society going. I mean, the nonsense, and I'm talking crazy, I guess, but the nonsense of these two bills being, you know, juggled around by the Democrats themselves and by the Republicans on the other hand. You can't beat an infrastructure, a real infrastructure legislation, because it generates jobs. I always say the figure that I have is for every $1 billion of such a bill, you generate 16,000 jobs. And I'm listening to the president talking about water and electric lines. And I know that in New Jersey here, I saw the floods from Florida. I've never seen anything like that. I went to school. I went to school in Manhattan. At the City University. I went for one doctorate over there. And I just can't imagine seeing floods going down New York. And then in Trenton, where I worked for almost 35, 40 years, the same thing, the Delaware River flowing. And I was watching Louisiana. The climate issue is so important. And I don't know if we're going to ever get around to solving these problems. I mean, there was a lot of acrimony with Biden and China over two countries that really control the fortunes of other countries. And it's a lot of things going on that I've never seen happen in my life, and I'm sure in your life. The Russians seem to be pushing their ally in a small little country against Poland. That's not good. And they're also on the border on Ukraine, and I don't buy the administration's view on that. I think that Russia is going to invade the Ukraine at any day, and I don't know what we're going to do about China, because there's no way to stop an invasion of Taiwan. I mean, these are world issues that these are really frightening times when you think of a country like Iran has nuclear weapons. Israel has nuclear weapons. France has nuclear weapons. Germany has nuclear weapons. We have nuclear weapons, hundreds of thousands, and so do the Russians. And China is jumping all over. They've got wide plans for space, including, you know, weaponry. And as we know, in the last couple of days, I believe Russia's been blowing things up for the heck of it in space. There's a lot to challenge and worry people about.
I heard that story today, but I didn't really get a chance to listen to it. What was that all about? I know it interfered with the International Space Station.
That's right, and the Russians have been blowing up some of their satellites, and whether it's accidental and deliberate, I'm more like thinking that it is deliberate. It's impacting the U.S. their specimen. At the present point, we're barely ahead of the Chinese and the Russians. And I think that they're attempting to slow us down totally. I mean, the U.S. lands on the Russian, which is really the Russian space station. But this is very dangerous. And to me, it appears to be deliberate, which is a problem. Space warfare, we were not supposed to allow that to happen. A whole bunch of countries that, you know, that we don't ever think of are getting into the space race. India is planning to shoot for Mars. China has already got things going on with Mars. Russia and China are planning some kind of system on the moon. You know, the more you think about it, it's a possibility of a war. And where I've heard one thing, I shouldn't religion, but years ago there was a saint, an Irish saint, who predicted that the last pope would be named Francis. I'm really worried about what's going on. You know, it's just really getting out of hand. The troops on the Ukrainian border, it's so much. I read a lot on foreign policy. I've followed the president on his climate change. There was hardly any real progress. There was some that the Chinese and the U.S. could talk to each other. But the rest of the world is facing danger. I have friends that live in the Himalayas in a small country.
Yes, and, yes, I know that.
And you know, there's no snow there. And they're in between. Last year, the Chinese were preparing to, you know, another invasion with India. And I looked up, and the Chinese were building, made it look like it was Tibet. And both you and I remember the Dalai Lama escaped from Tibet in the 50s, fled to India, then went around the world. But I'm worried about what's happening everywhere. One of the bright news was that South Africa made a big scientific discovery and that may impact climate change. But it's the way the world is going, where it's very dangerous. I never knew of a time that was any more dangerous. And look at us at home. We're possibly facing another invasion of Washington, D.C. Nobody ever thought this country would go through that. You've got to get crazies getting out there you know, joining the last president in his efforts to create an idea that there was an unfair election when everything was, even Republican states counted the balance and said, like in Georgia and Arizona, which really is fading from a solid red state to a more purple state, leading to a more takeover by the Democrats. But everywhere you went, there were things that we now know that everything that Rudy Giuliani did was fake. And here's a guy that you grew up in New York. I went to school in New York. Rudy Giuliani, when I was younger, he was considered a great mayor of New York, especially during when we had the issues in that city with the buildings and everything, World Trade Center. What happened? I mean, even his son, I mean, there's a little boy at the time. I remember son and the daughter and the mother were watching Giuliani give a press conference, and he announced that he was getting married. His wife had no idea. I mean, whatever happened. The defense, and that's what the crazy thing is. Up here, there was some progress, but in the election. But I just wrote a piece for a paper up here where a politician, a Republican was violent, you know, castigating Democrats for everything under the sun. It was one of the worst articles I ever wrote. And it was racist in tone and everything. First of all, we don't have a large black population, but the black people that live here are decent and they're hardworking. And I've had them vote for me in the past and whatnot. But I responded. The guy was attacking, like, immigration. How bad were the people from Haiti? People from Haiti largely have been sent back, except given some health care. But from my viewpoint, into Haiti. You know, I my wife has relatives in the Dominican Republic, and I took a ride, basically jungle and everything else, to Haiti. And this is a long time ago. I was ready to go, Hercules, to El Salvador to do a PhD thesis on a cardinal in the church in El Salvador. And I was going to, who was working with the Native Americans or Native Latin American Indians. And I went to Haiti and a lot of things happened to us. And I realized how it was a third poor country. Baby Doc, if you remember, there was the
Baby Doc Savalia, I remember him, yes.
And there were people dying in the street. I went to the presidential palace, which I don't know if it survived an earthquake. And we almost got shot. You're not allowed.
Some
guy jumped out the street and he wanted to be our guide for like $5 a day. But in this country, I was the local Republican state senator told me, if you want to stay in Trenton, well, I want you to come up here. And I had run as a Democrat over and over. Maybe I should have switched with him and I would have maybe made some change and maybe it wouldn't be so crazy up here. But I dealt with Haitians. I had a Haitian that worked for us. I eventually got him sent back to Newark to work closer to home. But the things that I saw then and what I saw now in Haiti or on the new media, and to read some guy attack every immigration at all points. I wrote an article. I'm part Irish, part Italian, and Welsh. And my Welsh side goes back. I'm going to deviate a little bit. I had a relative who was the mayor of Washington, D.C., the fifth mayor. His name was Waitman Lightning. And I either had coal miners or the Welsh were always known for their coal mining skills or people, this guy, he had been a student of Ben Franklin, apprentice, and somehow he became a general in the War of 1812. He was captured, and then he became a mayor of Washington, D.C. He invited Jefferson and Adams and others to the 50th anniversary. I debated that, but each one of them, I started with him, and I started with others. And I worked all the way down to Italian and Irish family members of mine. I have two large family groups. I don't know anybody that's Welsh anymore, although I run across hundreds of William Waitmans. That's really surprising.
Yes, that's a difficulty I had in the beginning, contacting you on some social media because there were a lot of William Waitmans, and I had to look through each one to try to find you.
And in New Jersey. And even my wife's Hilda Waitman. There are them, and it's all over. Because they were here, many of them were here, you know, in the early 1800s. The Irish and Italians started coming in full in the 1840s, 1850s. They faced the prejudice of the know-nothings, which became the more racist group than ethnic. but actually really with African Americans and other groups. But the point is that people with all these different ethnic groups have all faced prejudice. And you get down to the African Americans, they've had 400 or more years there with this stuff. We need to get ourselves straight as a society. The projections are that our population of Caucasians as part of the United States will shrink, and other groups, we will become more of a darker society and maybe hopefully a fairer society. And the things that are going on, I mean, I've been watching the cases up north. I watched the law case. I'm rambling around, but that young man who shot two people, I watched his case from beginning to end, and I don't see how there's any way that he could get off. Yeah, I see him walking down the street shooting people. It's become such a crazy society. We have more killings than any democracy in the world. And that can't be right. And everything just seems like... In your mind, would you ever think that the Capitol would have been invaded by these people then in January?
No, I never thought I'd see something like that. And also, I never thought I'd see one of our major political parties trying to pretend like it didn't happen or it was no big deal. It's a very strange time we're living through, and our very existence, our very identity seems to be at stake.
You're right. If it happens again, we might not be so lucky. I was happy to see that there are at least 15 or 20 Republicans in Congress. Adam Zinginger, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I really like that dude. I like the idea that you always need a group that will disagree on major issues with you, but find a way to come together. And him and the other member of that the daughter of, what's her name? She's a congresswoman.
Jamie.
She's on that committee. Yes.
Yes, Jamie.
Yes. And I'm really, you know, how they care while they're having that hearing. People, you know, the president, the ex-president and everybody is throwing roadblocks. Guys are trying to get suits to delay. One guy's facing jail. I think today he went before a court or something. And we never lived through this. We've, you know, other than a civil war, how the heck could a society like the U.S. survive a civil war in these times? And what is the purpose of this? People say, I see some of the groups in Florida. I was shocked that I guess they're the Poor Boys or whatever name they are. I saw them in D.C. It's scary to think that this country, after a great civil war, is talking about splitting, that the South, there's some high figure like 68-70% of people in the South want to pull out of the Union. It's crazy. They wouldn't survive. Neither would the rest of us. I mean, and if you don't want to lose a state like California, which could become a country on its own.
Yes, one of the world's largest economies, California.
What is going on? I watched the election. I was surprised to see the union official, the state senator from South Jersey, lose, even for granted, and not doing nothing and being a stumbling block always. That's what killed him off. Some guy with an unknown name is now going to take his seat. And I worked with him. I developed tests for his union in South Jersey, an iron workers out of Camden County. Well, how crazy is that? The governor almost lost, too. It was a close shot. We can't lose. We need to change direction somehow. We have to open doors, and I don't know how you do that, because this can't continue. It's more than, we don't need more of a Lincoln time. We need more of a Kennedy or something else. we've never had Republican presidents like Trump. Never. We've had some, you know, you know, may not always agree with everything. The father-son combination that we had, well, we've had a lot of father-son combinations in history, the Adams and the most recent family. But we pull together. Usually there's not that much difference. And the presidents, the Democrats in the last administration supported a lot of Trump's legitimate bills. It's with this time around, they're sitting on their hands. And we need our, I look at it this, I'm glad that the first infrastructure bill passed and the second one is coming out. And I'm hoping that largely passes too. I don't know if we can get free college tuition for everybody, but maybe we need to work out systems. But we're in deep trouble if we don't get something moving. I think the last jobs report the other day was about 550,000 jobs. That's not really that great and strong, but it's hopeful. And the economy needs to fully wake up. Our unemployment rate is 4%. A lot of people do not want to go back to work. They want new jobs. But we've never seen this thing where people just pulled out of work totally. I always grew up on the idea, and might be criticized wrong for it, you get a job until you find a better job. And I don't believe in just pulling out everything. Have money coming in. So where we go from that, I'm not sure. But I've never seen an economy like this in our times. I mean, surprisingly, unemployment's low, but job growth is relatively low, 500,000. We should be looking at 1 million jobs right now, monthly. And the bill should generate, the first bill should generate a lot of jobs. The second bill, I think, would help, too. It was good that Republicans on the steps with the president on that bill. But we need parties are not supposed to be, like you said earlier, where one is working totally to seemingly destroy the country. We need a better sense of ability to work together. I mean, I go back to Kennedy. As a kid, I met Kennedy in Teaneck. I knew his speech. I met him in New York City at the Foreign Policy Association. And I talked hours with him. You know, after the thing was done, because him and John Kennedy had a program to give out awards for great Americans, like the senator from Arizona. Different party, but in many ways, he was a hero. Hoping that the society changes, because I've got little grandchildren now. I'm in my house, and there's three grandchildren here.
Wow.
My daughter has one.
I just became a grandfather, so I have one grandchild. So three, you're very blessed.
Yeah, I keep going. I have a little prodigy of my daughter's child. So I'm going to see her do a recital. She's about 4 years old.
Wow.
She's going to do something and something down in the Wayne area, the church or something. But, they're moving ahead, and that's good. We need to really have as a country gets going, there should be like a takeoff status, like an airplane rising or a rocket rising. And so far, the real takeoff is not that great. You know, 500,000 jobs, a month or two ago, 230,000 jobs. Hopefully, things are turning the corner. People, for the first time in history, decided not to go back to work. I'm not judging in a sense, but I always I had a conservative mother and a liberal father. And my mother would say, you've got to get a job to get a job. And my father said, you know, my mother wanted me to work in a post office. I said, Mom, I'm going to college. I don't want to work in a post office. My father was a postmaster, I helped him out. Actually, when he died, I ran that bar. I had to go from Trenton, from Sussex County to Trenton, to near
wow.
you, which, and sometimes I took a taught a course at New Jersey City University. So it would be a real long, long day. And I did a Saturday where I would get up at 6 o'clock and open the place to help out. But that's the choices you make. I really hope that everything takes off, because we need to grow as a country. We need to grow and end this separation. It's very harmful. I don't want to see another man march on Washington. I think we've had enough of that. And I'm hoping for the best.
Me too. What else can you do? You got to hope for the best and you got to do your best. Are you still running for office, Bill, anytime soon? Or
I'm thinking of running. Yeah, I'm thinking of running again. I didn't. It's funny, while I was there, the job at Freeholder turned into commissioner. And
okay.
And it sounds like, Hercules, you could check this out, but I think all these former freeholders that are now commissioners, they're making tremendous money. You know, this was a scheme. And it's one reason maybe that the guy lost in the union head down in South Jersey, because I don't know if the economy is you know, it's starting to pitch up. Running, I think we need people that really care. Up here, where I am, and people who doubt this, there's a lot of anger and hate. Too much. I don't like hate. That's why I responded to an article I saw in a weekly paper. When you and I were growing up, there was a radio station in New York at the bottom of the dial, like 560 or something. It was a AM rock station. And this lady owns 21 papers up here. She's the daughter of the guy that owned that station. And she owns part of the Post, not the Washington Post, but the New York Post, which is a strange thing. I there's a need to get better people. I was watching in the local papers up here when I was down there how the language and the attacks were really totally negative. And I never saw that. I up here, after running for election a couple of times, I joined up with a Republican state senator. He and I did a lot of things together, and we won awards for doing the things. He sent me to Washington and sent me to Trenton to go over poverty with a Episcopal minister who handled 300 groups on the poverty issue. And I liked that, and I wound up going to Trenton with his help to testify about drug issues, you know, Trenton and Senate and House, not House, Assembly hearings. So I got a lot of experience. I figure I still have a lot on the ball. I'm not totally dead, but I think that we need more people that are going, that are relevant and care about the issues at their time, not anger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need a politics of anger. I never really yelled and screamed at any opposition party. I ran for Congress briefly. I lost, but I got along with the congressman. He's since been beaten by the guy from Bergen County in the 5th District. And I've run against others, but up here it's very horrible. I mean, really, and I'm sure in other parts of the state it's the same. For some reason, I think towards the shore here, there's some real bad feelings in politics. I mean, a state senator that I knew who was Indian from India, he was doing great things. He got voted out, and maybe that's just the tone of the election. I think that is for the run. Somebody, we need to change our politics. Freeholders, from Wayne, a Democrat, they're there all the time. Maybe there should be a different Democrat or a different Republican that's, you know, cares about the town. Up here, the Freeholder Board is all Republican, and they're against everything. It's funny, I have a grandson that sleeps out at other kids' houses on the weekends. And we developed a program up here called the Friends House, where kids go sleep at friends and stop that. They would actually have a place to go if they couldn't go home. A friend's house meant you wound up sleeping on a couch or in a bedroom or something. I did that for the state senator. He pushed me to do that. Got going. There were supposed to be two buildings, male and female. And instead, there was just one building. And the drug guy actually was giving out drugs. Had to step up and testify before the Freeholder Board, which I had one or two friends on at the time. They were Republican. I grew up with one. But now I think some of the people that are in our assembly from this area are idiotic. You need changes. I mean, there are good Republicans in parts of the state, and there's good Democrats in part of the state. We have too many political bosses. We need to free up the system. A guy in South Jersey that's a union leader and he's stirring things up for a governor, that's the wrong kind of guy. And the governor himself has to change. You know, he got a wake-up call. He almost he got 10,000 votes. We need to open up the system, allow more people to vote. And for whatever we do, the rest of this country has to go even further. You know, the governor of California was going to be rooted out for what I don't even remember what the charge was. He beat the guy, and then they had to have another election after that. So it's getting too bitter. And sometimes I'm getting the feeling that we could have an insurrection. We need people that really, that care about the country. They can differ on ideas. That was Johnson's ability. If he couldn't carry the South, he would pick up Republicans around the country for his war on poverty. And that's what should be done everywhere. An ex-president that talks crazy should be influencing a whole Congress, a whole Republican section of Congress, to do the stupidest things. There were, you know, there were 15, 16 Republicans that have voted along with the Democrats on every bill, and you know, that's where we're headed. We need to get along. You know, we need to check. What I'm basically saying in a long-winded way is we need a system of checks and balances. But there are times when these parties need to get together and vote on issues. If it's a matter of war, we need a unanimous vote. Or maybe one or two people that don't accept the war, as was the case of pre-World War One and pre-World War Two. I would like to do it. I would like to do it because we're in need of change. I see so much. I read daily. I read five papers a day, and a number of magazines. I read the local papers here. I read the Times. I read the Wall Street Journal. I love that paper. I don't like a lot of the editorial stuff, but I learn a lot of information about the economy, and that comes in. I don't read the New York Post because I feel that's just a bad form of press. I don't mind, you know, editorial things, but I want to read news that's clear. Not that the governor did this or in New York or his brother did this. I think sometimes we go too far. There should be. I'm talking about the younger Cuomo. I enjoy seeing him on CNN because he gets to the facts. And that's what we need. We need people getting the facts. I just realized, Hercules, I put some of these smart TVs here, and I'm getting to see. I never realized that the big stations have constant news now. CBS, NBC, ABC. I do see it on Facebook because I'm watching that. And I'm on LinkedIn.
Right.
I'm on LinkedIn more than I'm on Facebook because the issues of the economy concern me more. And that's a way of preparing me to either run for the next election or do something else. I want to go back and teach at a local college. I don't know if I've screened myself out by my age, but I like to do that. I did it for New Jersey City University, Ramapo State, and two county colleges, one in Sussex and one in Morris County. And I'd love to do that again. We need to have courses in government and more in political science and politics, because we're running a bad form of politics. We need to engage everybody. I'm hoping that the federal government and Congress pass election laws that supersede the ones that states are putting out, which are discriminatory. We can't be that kind of country. We have to be that beacon on the hill that, like every candidate for president is written on, going back to the former governor of New York City, his sons, and Republicans as well, and other Democratic presidents. We really need to move ahead. I'm really feeling that I don't want to be pessimistic. I'm hoping that we can make change, work together, and change things. I'm glad that first bill passed. I really see it as a need. It covers every environmental, and it's going to lead to a lot of jobs. It's something good. And the second one, I don't know if you can pass every element of that second one. First of all, I don't think any congressman should help or senator should hold up a bill, like two in the Senate, two
right.
Democrats. I mean, I don't even understand their politics. I was in West Virginia the night that Martin Luther King and the night that Robert Kennedy were assassinated. I left to go back to work when Kennedy was assassinated up in Englewood Cliffs. Company no longer exists. But I can't imagine any state in the union that is that poor. It has to be the poorest state in the union. And I don't know whose coattails he's hanging on to down there, the senator, because he held all this up. And it was illogical. We could have went for a couple more billion and maybe generate even more jobs, you know. We're going to see some big changes, but we need more big changes. When I was in Florida watching, you know, a city like New York have major floods and cars floating away, that really scared the heck out of me. I had been in New York at the State University. State University had a campus there was a law school, and I came out in November, and it was the freakish storm that I had to saw. It took me 3 to 5 hours to get out of New York City.
Wow.
You know, drive out. And that, watching cars slow up, I'm thinking, that could happen to me. I worked in Trenton. I drove down there. I had a commute. I don't know if anybody beats me ever, but I had a commute of 103 miles each way. That's
wow.
200 miles. That I drove every day. I have had more than 20 cars, so I wasted a lot of money driving down. It's just crazy. I used to be able to get a train with a pass and go down. It didn't cost me a cent. You know, I had to drive to Newark and get the chair. And, you know, I don't want to see those days come back. I want to see New York thrive.
Right.
And I want to see about every city in America thrive. People working. I don't know if you remember the Carl Sandburg. Carl Sandburg wrote a poem about America, and he talked about cities and, you know, people hammering away and building and creating things. That always impressed me. I mean, it wasn't always the lyrical poems, but they were great long stanza poems that really described how America was pushing to get ahead. We jumped ahead of a lot of the countries on the way up. And I don't want to see the country sink to the bottom. or saints, where we're definitely in a precarious position. So I don't believe in electing 78 or 80 year old president. So I don't know if this guy can serve his second term. I think we need younger presidents to get this society moving. It's something. I mean, I remember as a kid President Eisenhower,
mm-hmm.
and he seemed to do so much, except he had a heart attack at one point. You know, he did his own infrastructure plan, which was highways, and Nixon was his vice president at the time, and he seemed to accomplish much. He wasn't a traditional Republican. He was a general, and sometimes you have to worry about generals, but he did a decent job at that road project, and that's the last time we rebuilt any of our infrastructure. I don't know why anybody would have been against it still. Didn't make sense. Trump was in current.
This is the largest bill of its kind for a whole generation, they were saying today in the news.
It's so appropriate. I mean, that's how you get America going. And, you know, transportation, clean water, bridges, things for, you know, I was looking at the Navajo Nation. In a way, I'm part Irish, and the Navajo fed Irish people that came to their area, you know, in the 1840s, 1850s. They took a lot of heat from, you know, anti-Irish groups, but the Navajo did it. And I understand some members of my family that are Irish, they disagree with me, but people in Ireland still send the Navajo, you know, gifts. And that's a state that they still follow the things. Their relatives or ancestors may either came back or stayed. And it's like the pilgrims, you know, stories we have with, you know, Pocahontas and all that. I don't know how true that is. But, you know, Native Americans, I was watching the president speak the other day, and I don't remember the scale, but they have the shortest lifespan of every group, of any group in America. At the time, in general, I've done projects with the iron workers in New York City. A lot of them are, you know, Mohawk and other tribes that climb up on those high things and build those buildings, and that's not an easy walk. I'm afraid to walk on a curb and fall down. But, yeah, these are things to worry about. Their lifespan is so much shorter than, say, whites or even blacks. And the other thing is that the society grows, people of different colors are going to become the majority group. The white population, that's what's causing a lot of angst among some of these groups, will eventually be, you know, lower on a totem pole. And you probably will see more black, maybe more other groups elected to the presidency and other things. The president made an appointment of a Native American to his cabinet, and she seems to be doing a great job. But it's everything. As a society, we got to get together. I drive an electric car. I see the need. It cuts gas usage. It cuts, you know, air poisoning and everything else. We have to start hitting these things now. That's the last conference that ended. It really wasn't, I don't know how much really came out of that. China and the U.S. agreed on some points. That's good, but there's so many issues, and we're not really touching on it. I think we're headed, I can't remember the temperature level that we're averaging now, but it's about 3 points. It's up there on the temperature scale.
Right.
It's gone beyond 1.5. I don't know whether, help me with that, what the measurement is. But, you know, 3.5 is a dangerous figure. And to cut it down, it's going to take a lot of hard work. I have, as I said earlier, I have friends in a small country on top of the Himalayas, Bhutan. And it's in between between China and India. India is its protectorate. But there's no snow. There would be 20,000 feet up, and there's no snow.
And that's scary because there was always snow there. That's known as a snowy area.
The people I know, they walk down. They have these rope ladders, and they walk from top to bottom. They had some kind of like hotel business going on there. Not many people are going to Bhutan. And I told them, they didn't realize it. I said to them, China is building housing in your city. And I couldn't believe it. They didn't believe me. But it's true. India is its protectorate, but China was building housing there. And that's a dangerous thing. As a kid, I remember the Dalai Lama fleeing Tibet. And I'm waiting, when he dies, another one's supposed to spring up.
Yes.
In its place. And the Chinese have been sending Chinese to Tibet, hoping that they have a numbers grab on that. And Russia is, they're sending people to, farm and whatnot in Siberia. If I were Russia, I would be worrying about that. Nobody is really safe with them. And I don't want to go to war with any country. Hoping that could stop. I mean, it's making enough profit. But we need to seal things and make them better, get along around the world. Instead of having climate change issues, have them, but come up with real solutions. They did some, there's some things that they've done. There's some that agree between the U.S. and China, who are so much for it. We have to get all the way back down on that temperature gauge, or we're going to have serious problems. I look at the temperatures in Alaska, and there are days that they're higher than many of the states in the Union. It's certainly not going to reach down to Hawaii. That would be a devastation. But our policies, we need to really enforce them. And change. I don't know how easy that is.
That'll have to be the subject for the next show. We're nearing the end of today's conversation. But Bill, thank you very much for your overview of all the issues we need to focus on in the world today, and especially in this country. And I look forward to hearing more of your research and your impressions in shows to come.
I'm writing a lot in New York papers and right here in this area. I hope we can meet in the next couple of weeks.
That would be great. I would love that. And please include links to the things that you write, and I'll gladly post them.
I sure will.
Give my love to your family. How can people contact you, Bill?
Well, go on Facebook, I'm there. I really go more on LinkedIn now. Because I'm interested in what other people are thinking. There's one guy that every day has some new thing that he's discovered around the world. I share that usually, or I add my own. I've been researching Barron's. I'm getting more involved in the economy. I hope people would check me on both. I have Twitter, Billy Wei, W-E-I-G, and haven't used that much, but I'm going to start going back to using it. And the papers are in Bergen, at Hudson, and Sussex County, and attempts, I've written something in the New York Times. I have to get back. I used to write a lot for the Times. They did a full-page story on me once.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, Bill. Give my love to the family, and I'm looking forward to seeing you soon.
Take care.
You
bye-bye.
Too, and thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you called in, you're in our queue, whether you clicked the link and found yourself here, or whether you're going to be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.